You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sattery, joined by a very special guest today's show to talk about the Carson Wentz trade and also sprinkle a little bit of draft and offseason talk with free agency as well. Does some awesome work with our Pro Football Focus. Austin Gale of PFF and the 2-for-1 Drafts podcast joins us today. Austin, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all. Always enjoy listening to your podcast with Mike Renner and the work you do over at PFF. And I want to get your thoughts on this as well with the Carson Wentz trade start off today's show, because obviously a blockbuster trade that happened there. What's your overall opinion of the compensation the Colts get with a third-round pick in 2021, the 84th overall pick, plus a conditional 2022 second-round pick that could turn into a first-round pick? Do you think that's a worthy investor guy, Carson Wentz, who we saw last year was graded 34th best QB in the NFL per PFF?
No, I think originally I felt like this trade was a win-win. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles needed to get out of the Carson Wentz situation. Obviously, that relationship was battered, and I don't even think that's putting it too aggressively. I do think it was a bad situation for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, even when taking on that, $33.8 million cap hit to pay Carson Wentz to play for the Colts. I still think it was a move they needed to make. And while I do think the Colts needed to make an upgrade or get aggressive at grabbing a quarterback because the roster is so good, because they're in this window to win a Super Bowl, I'm still unconvinced that the most likely scenario for the Indianapolis Colts isn't the worst-case scenario with Carson Wentz, because I do think that Carson Wentz plays better football in Indianapolis. I think he plays a much better game with Frank Reich, with that offensive line, and defensively, it's a top five, top eight defense in the NFL. The problem is, I don't think Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts ultimately shoot the moon in this Super Bowl window, push ahead of where Phillip Rivers could take them and win a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. I think they're better or more likely to fall in this 5-7 range in the AFC, that top 5-7 range in the AFC. So they're consistently making the postseason, losing that first-round pick, that conditional second-round pick becomes a first-round pick, but they're in this quarterback purgatory or in the middle of the NFL, but never getting the full distance because as good as Carson Wentz was in that 2017 season, I don't think we ever see that level of play from him again. I think it's more likely that he falls in this QB8 to QB12 range at best with Frank Reich, and that's if he steadily improves. I mean, you can win in the NFL with an inaccurate quarterback like Carson Wentz if he's going to be very good under pressure, very good in high leverage situations like third and fourth down in the red zone. But as we've seen at PFF, those areas of play are very volatile. You don't see consistency year over year under pressure or in those high leverage situations. So can he have similar success to what he had in 2017? Absolutely. He needs to stay healthy and he needs to work better with Frank Reich. And I think the Indianapolis Colts need to get aggressive in the offseason to build around him. But there is a range of outcomes where Carson Wentz wins the Super Bowl with Indianapolis. I just don't think it's the most likely one. The most likely one being that worst case scenario. We're in this like quarterback purgatory or NFL purgatory where you're never good enough, but you're good enough to win the Super Bowl, but never good enough to go all the way.
Let me ask you about Carson Wentz as well, Austin, because like we saw last year, one of the worst graded quarterbacks in the NFL per PFF grade last year. Of course, 2017, a magical run for him before he tore his ACL that year. Of course, the Eagles won the Super Bowl that year as well, helping Wentz. They got home field advantage mainly because of Wentz's play. Where do you think Wentz, like you mentioned, 8-12 range maybe is the high outcome there? Maybe the mid, like low 20s could be like a realistic outcome for him as well. Where do you personally view Carson Wentz as a quarterback over the 5-year sample size we've seen so far?
Yeah, I definitely don't put him in that 8-12 range. I think that is his peak play. I do think that at his best, he's a top 8 quarterback in the NFL. Where he's most likely been over the course of this 5-year season is actually in the, 16-25 range. I don't think he's the worst quarterback in the NFL like he played like last season, but I think if the situation's bad, he's going to play bad football. And that's what we saw in Philadelphia. Injured receiving core, injured offensive line, bad defense. You're going to get a bad Carson Wentz. If the supporting cast is better, and I think it is in Indianapolis with Michael Pittman Jr., with that offensive line, even with Anthony Costanzo retiring, you're going to get a better Carson Wentz. He is a quarterback, in my opinion, that plays to the level of his situation, his supporting cast, his offensive coordinator, et cetera. And I think you're going to get, like I said, a better Carson Wentz here. There's a range of outcomes where he lands in that QB8, QB12 range. But I also think injuries could happen both at the receiver position and along the offensive line. If that issue at left tackle isn't addressed for the Indianapolis Colts this offseason, that could be another Achilles heel to where we see Carson Wentz maybe fall outside the top 15, top 16.
Austin, how much stock do you put into the mental aspect of Carson Wentz, where obviously, like you mentioned, just a depleted receiving core and offensive line last year, but also we've heard about the rift with Doug Peterson in the front office there. Get him on board with Frank Reich and Press Taylor and Mike Rowe, three of the top four guys in the Colts offensive staff there that really have a big voice and an opinion about Carson Wentz in a positive way. Do you feel like that side of the game for Carson Wentz could really be a big boom for him, just because we saw last year him kind of just fall off a cliff a little bit? Maybe he can bounce back sort of that way mentally in Indianapolis, the three guys who are very confident in this game. Do you think that could help out a little bit, or do you really put much stock into that?
No, 1,000%, man. People forget that NFL players aren't racehorses. You know, these guys are people, and I think it was a very tough situation for him to play in there in Philadelphia. Like, the coaching staff didn't believe in him. Players started to not believe in him, and honestly, it was a really bad situation for him overall. I think having that opportunity to reset with a new locker room, with a new front office, with a new coaching staff, one being familiar, the guy probably in the NFL that most likes you, Frank Reich, is now going to be on your side. I do think there's a huge opportunity for him to bounce back mentally, reapproach the game, have more motivation, all that type of stuff. Yeah, that can be kind of fluffy, speaking to off-field stuff, but I do think it matters. I think the mental side of the game, especially at the quarterback position, a leadership position on a football team, you can't understate how important it is to be, you know, successful mentally and be in a good situation.
Well, another point here on Carson Wentz before we dive into some more draft talk and offseason talk as well was just your overall opinion of how Wentz could grade compared to Phillip Rivers with the Colts in 2019. Of course, Rivers is a statue in the pocket last year, very immobile at age 38, but a very productive year for Rivers. Even though he had a really rough start, he finished off strong and efficient. Do you feel like the Colts offense is going to change or maybe improve, maybe decrease a little bit with Carson Wentz in the fold compared to Phillip Rivers? What's your thoughts on swapping those two guys out there?
I mean, they're going to throw the ball a lot deeper. I do think that the passing game gets immediately a bit more aggressive. I mean, that's partly why Carson Wentz is as bad as he's been, but he's not a guy that's going to hit a ton of crossers, not a guy that's going to hit a ton of dump-offs to the running backs. He likes to throw to big pass catchers downfield, whether that's tight ends, outside receivers, whatever it may be. His favorite targets in Philadelphia were Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Alshon Jeffrey when he was healthy. And I think that's what Michael Pittman Jr. can be for this team. I think that's what Mo Alie-Cox can be for this team. I think you're going to see a much more downfield passing attack. Maybe if you're in the fantasy side of things, reducing shares for Nyheim Hines and the running backs catching passes, I do think it's more aggressive. And with aggressiveness comes more turnovers. I think you're going to see a higher percentage of turnover-worthy plays from Carson Wentz, but you're buying into that at the quarterback position. You're buying into a more aggressive quarterback in hopes of getting a ton of high end and not that much low end. It's the same reason why, you know, teams take to Patrick Mahomes, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick in some ways, guys that are volatile, do make mistakes, do push the ball downfield, are aggressive. But when they hit well and they hit downfield and they chase those explosive plays that the NFL is catering to right now. I think Carson Wentz will play. Again, I said this at the top. He's going to play his best football, arguably his best football of his career in Indianapolis. How good will that be? We'll have to see.
Colts fans, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online is your cover for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive a 50% off welcome bonus to your first deposit. The promo code is LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering all things Indianapolis Colts here on Locked On Colts. What about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's just by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast or read your podcasts. What's your opinion of the young core the Colts put together so far on offense? Going to be complimenting Carson Wentz in 2021 and beyond. You have Jonathan Taylor, who was a top three graded running back in PFF over the last stretch of the season. Michael Pittman Jr. came on strong as well. Like you mentioned, Mo Alie-Cox, the tight end, was one of the higher grade tight ends in the NFL last year when he had even a limited role more. So I really hoped he had a bigger role than what we saw in 2020, but hopefully that increased a little bit in 2021. Nyheim Hines as well. What's your overall assessment of the Colts' young core of offensive weapons they have in place? And can't forget about Paris Campbell, even though he's been very injured over the last couple of years. That 4.31 speed for a guy his size is pretty special.
Yeah, I do like the young core they do have. I think Mo Alie-Cox is a successful tight end. I think he's a restricted free agent. I think they obviously signed him back. Michael Pittman Jr. was one of my favorite receivers in the 2020 class, a big possession type that catches everything. Exactly what Carson Wentz likes at the wide receiver position. But Jonathan Taylor, as good as he is, I'm not going to think about, you know, him and Nyheim Hines as being big needle movers for this passing attack where you have to win in today's NFL. I think they need to get aggressive, or at least somewhat aggressive, in free agency. T.Y. Hilton likely to leave in free agency if they don't bring him back. Maybe going after a Will Fuller, Juju Smith-Schuster, Corey Davis, maybe an Allen Robinson. I think that's the perfect receiver for the Indianapolis Colts if they can go get an Allen Robinson. The problem is, how much does Allen Robinson want to come to Indianapolis? I mean, he's already been working with some of the most inaccurate quarterbacks the league has ever seen. Trubisky, Hackenberg, Bortles. I think he's ready to see some accuracy. But if they can bring him to Indianapolis, I think that would be a good fit for them as well.
Yeah, let's hit on free agency while you're talking about it there. Do you feel like T.Y. Hilton should be a priority, Austin, just from what we've seen the last couple of years without Andrew Luck there? His play has dipped off pretty significantly just from what we've seen the last couple of years. Injuries have started to bite a little bit with T.Y. Hilton. Do you feel like T.Y. Hilton is a must sign for the Colts? Or do you feel like maybe, like you mentioned, go out and get a younger, more explosive weapon than a 32-year-old T.Y. Hilton like a Will Fuller, or maybe pay big for an Allen Robinson?
No, I don't think T.Y. Hilton is a must sign for this team. I think he's a Colts legend, obviously, has done a ton for the city and the franchise, but he's not a fit for this offense. He's not a fit for Carson Wentz, a guy with a smaller catch radius that really wins down the football field in these tight windows where he's, let's call it what it is, not going to be all that accurate. I think you replace a T.Y. Hilton with, yes, you can bring in a burner, but you need a bigger receiver, a guy with a bigger catch radius. Again, Allen Robinson makes a ton of sense. I think Terrace Marshall of LSU on day two makes a ton of sense if you're going to look ahead to the draft. What they don't need is like the Rondell Moore, Tutu Atwell, Kadarius Toney. Like, they don't need these gadget types. They got to try and develop Paris Campbell. What they do need is a true alpha that can be a wide receiver one or wide receiver two on the outside opposite of Michael Pittman Jr. And I know Frank Reich likes to mix his guys into the slot. He doesn't like just make this guy a Z or just make this guy an X, but bringing in another guy that can hold his own on the outside, if they do choose to move on from T.Y. Hilton, I think they could look to the draft or free agency to fill that position of need.
Looking outside of wideout, of course, the Colts have some other big needs, a pass rusher, cornerback as well. If they don't re-sign Xavier Rhodes, I think it's going to be a priority to re-sign for them, in my opinion. But about the pass rushing class, first off, Austin, who are some names that stand out to you when you look at the 2021 free agency class? It's a really loaded list, around 10 to 12 guys here who are going to make a big chunk of change in 2021.
Yeah, I do think that you touched on it a little bit, but I'll speak to it as well. I think Xavier Rhodes has to be a priority re-sign for the Indianapolis Colts. And I think Xavier Rhodes should want to come back to the Indianapolis Colts. It's such a good scheme fit for him in Eberflus's defense. They got the length. He doesn't need the speed to win on the back end. Like, I do think Xavier Rhodes, even on a 1-2 year deal, should come back to the Colts, and the Colts would be happy to have him back with in Indianapolis. I think from an edge rusher perspective, if you can steal away a Shaquille Barrett from Tampa Bay, he's obviously the best pass rusher available in free agency. If they can lure a J.J. Watt, that's another guy that I think on a 1-year, 2-year deal is going to help that defense out a ton. I think the hidden gem, it's not Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think it's Yannick Ngakoue, Melvin Ingram, Bud Dupree. It's Carl Lawson. And Carl Lawson's probably not going to make big money on the open market because he just quite simply hasn't done a ton. But I think utilized effectively, I think he can be a very productive pass rusher. The problem is, I don't think Indianapolis Colts look his way. He's got short arms. You know, Eberflus doesn't like short arms. I don't think they look at Carl Lawson. I think they go after a guy with longer arms. I think they should re-sign to Nico Autry. That's another guy with length that's played his best football in Indianapolis. But Shaquille Barrett makes sense. J.J. Watt makes sense. They could go after a Jadeveon Clowney if they wanted to. Carl Lawson would be my guy, but maybe not a fit in Eberflus's defense.
Also, when you look at this Colts team, I mean, rolling the dice on Carson Wentz, which Frank Reich and Chris Ballard have done, is a worthy gamble. I mean, the upside is there, but also the downside is there as well. So you have to really bet big on Carson Wentz to turn the form if you want the Colts to be in the Super Bowl window that they are in right now, a win-now window in the next 3 or 4 years with Carson Wentz on board. Do you feel like Austin, with Chris Ballard, has been very frugal these last couple of years? Of course, he'd made a big splash last year in trading for DeForest Buckner and signed to that big contract. But they still have around $56 million in cap space after the Carson Wentz trade. Do you feel like now with Wentz on board, a lesser talent, they got to really roll the dice on him a little bit? Do you think the time is now in 2021 to make a big splash if you're Chris Ballard to add some more win-now talent on this roster?
Absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't have been the move I made. I don't think I would have given up a 2021 third-rounder and then a conditional second for Carson Wentz. I think I would have rather gone after a cheaper option like a Jameis Winston or a Cam Newton on the open market. But play the cards you're dealt. In this situation, I think the Chris Ballard and the Indianapolis Colts are making a clear-cut bet on Carson Wentz. And you can't go half in at this point. You can't bet on Carson Wentz and not build around him. I think you do have to get aggressive in free agency and the NFL draft to build off enough offensive supporting talent. I think defensively, you re-sign Autry, You re-sign Xavier Rhodes, maybe swing the bat on a pass rusher in free agency. I think you're in a good place there. Plus, I trust Eberflus, regardless of talent, to keep that unit in, you know, top half of the league. Offensively, get aggressive. You need to replace T.Y. Hilton if you let him walk. You need to get a left tackle in there to replace Anthony Costanzo. You need to probably add another piece at receiver that can work the slot if Paris Campbell doesn't develop or continues to play, be plagued by injuries. Like, you can't afford to not have a backup plan. You made a bet on Carson Wentz. And I think there's one or two ways here you could look at it. Is if Carson Wentz gets hurt or they start out the season, say, you know, 3-5, 3-6, then you bench him, avoid spending that first rounder, and really reset at the position. But because that Colts roster is so good, you probably expect them to be in the postseason hunt for bulk majority of the season, so much that he does play that 70% snap threshold and they do make the postseason, especially because they allow 7 teams in the AFC to go to the playoffs. So I don't think they start out the season, you know, 3-6, 3-5, and then bench Carson Wentz unless he does get hurt early. So I do think you have to buy into this Super Bowl window, play the cards you're dealt. It's kind of like they already put all their chips in. You know, they put all their chips in. You can't pull them back now that you find out your cards aren't that great. You're going to have to go all the way through with this.
Let's move on to the draft now, Austin, and a really intriguing class. We're going to have some left tackles and edge rushers today to close out today's show. A very loaded group for both those positions where the Colts could really capitalize in the draft, especially at number 21, number 54 overall, their first and second round picks. Where the Colts are at 21, let's say they go for a left tackle in that range. Only have 6 guys here who are probably realistic targets at 21. You could still be on the board. Of course, take out Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater, Christian Darius. So I feel like all 3 of those guys would be gone by 21. But if you had to bet on one of these 6 guys, Austin, and the list is Dylan Radunes, Liam Eichenberg, Tevin Jenkins, Sam Cosmi, Alex Leatherwood, or Jalen Mayfield, which one of those 6 guys are you betting the most on to be a successful NFL pro?
Man, that's tough because I do think there's a handful of those guys that will be better in year 2 or year 3 than they will be in year 1. And I don't think the Colts can necessarily afford to go after a guy like Sam Cosmi that will be, I think, better in year 2 or year 3 than he is year 1. That guy still needs to add weight, still needs to get stronger, but probably has more upside than maybe some of the other guys. I think if they wanted to bring in a guy that can start now and play good football now, it's Dylan Radunes of North Dakota State, a guy that's done it at a high level in the FCS and showed up to Mobile at the Senior Bowl and looked very good against Power 5 competition, some of the top seniors in the country. I think Dylan Radunes makes way more sense than Sam Cosmi, given the window the Colts are in, while other teams that feel more comfortable at the position will swing the bat on a guy like Sam Cosmi of Texas at the back end of the first or maybe the top of the second.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 18 amazing flavors that include nut and non-nut flavors. They're covered 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. The Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy out there as well. They're so healthy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for a keto diet. For example, the coconut almond Built Bar is 18 grams of protein and 5 grams of sugar, all within 180 calories. A great tasting snack that'll tell you throughout the day. A free quote with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bars. Again, 20% off your next order at Built Bars, and go use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, at BuiltBar.com. Join the Draft Network's Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak every weekday on Locked On NFL Draft. Every Monday through Friday, Trevor and Ben break down everything you need to know about the NFL Draft, upcoming prospects, and more through the draft scouting lens. With mock drafts every Monday, get an early look at which top prospects may be available for your team over at Locked On NFL Draft. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You look at this left tackle class overall, Austin. I mean, we mentioned the top 3 there of Sewell, Slater, Darisaw, and then the 6 names we mentioned. But this left tackle class goes pretty deep into the 4th, 5th round where you could add some legitimate talent there. What's your overall thoughts on this class? It seems one of the deeper classes we've seen in a couple of years.
I'm sorry. I missed that last part.
No worries. Yeah, what's your overall thoughts on the 2021 left tackle class? It just seems like to me like there's talent throughout the 4th, even 5th round of this. It's a very deep group. Do you feel like the overall assessment of this group being it's one of the deepest we've seen in a couple of years?
No, the tackle class is fantastic. And I know last year the tackle class was great with Andrew Thomas, Mekhi Becton, Jedrick Wills, Tristan Wirfs, but it fell off after those 4. You know, it really did fall off after those 4. This year, according to PFF's draft board, 8 offensive tackles rank inside the top 40 on PFF's board. So you really can't attack the position multiple times in this draft, in the 1st and 2nd round, and still find a ton of value. And it's for those guys that you spoke to, you know, Alex Leatherwood, Dylan Radunes, Jalen Mayfield, Sam Cosmi. I really do think that at the back end of the 1st, top of the 2nd, you could see a run on tackles. I didn't even mention Tevin Jenkins, who's an absolute bulldog, a bully at the position that isn't, you know, fleet of foot like a Rashawn Slater of Northwestern. But, man, Once he gets his hands on you, he's a bully, similar to Christian Darrisaw, the Virginia Tech offensive tackle. And obviously, you got to talk about the cream of the crop, Penei Sewell of Oregon, who I think might be the best offensive tackle we've seen in quite a long time.
Let's go to the edge class now, Austin. Another intriguing group here. A lot of potential on this list, too. So I'll give you the same question for the left tackle list here at 21, the realistic names that could be there. Kwity Paye, Azeez Ojulari, Joseph Osai, Jalen Phillips, Gregory Rousseau. Who are you betting on most to produce in year one and beyond?
Man, I think I'm going to go Kwity Paye. I do think Kwity Paye will be the most productive pass rusher in year one of that group. But all of those guys have a ton of potential to be better in years two and years three. It's such a weird edge class because they're projects. You know, Gregory Rousseau literally has only played his redshirt freshman season at Miami, like, and he's played no other season, and he's barely played the position. I mean, he played a lot of different positions in high school, and even in that first season at Miami, he played off ball, he played edge, he played inside. Like, he is going to – and he opted out of the 2020 season, obviously. He is going to be a project. Like, I don't know where he's even going to play as a rookie. While Kwity Paye, he's played on the inside, he's played on the outside, but he's also been productive both in 2019 and in 2020. And he's got tools similar to, you know, Gregory Rousseau, and he's got the length, he's got athleticism, change of direction, all that stuff. And then you factor even beyond that, Jalen Phillips, former five-star out of California that probably has the best tools of any prospect in this class, but medical history and some off-field concerns that could push him down draft boards. Azeez Ojulari, you know, plays a position with a jetpack on him. He's got some of the most explosiveness of any edge in this class. Probably the most polished of those guys, a guy that can already win outside with the primary, you know, club, kind of a club move that he does have on the outside that I think is impressive. But again, this edge group, one to attack. I think the Colts will be in on it because there's some guys with some legitimate arm length that will be good at the position. I think they could be in play for them at 21.
So, Austin, I'll put the GM hat on you for just a moment here to close out today's show. Appreciate the time today. I always enjoy having you on. We've had you on before, and you really do some great stuff over at PFF with the 2-for-1 Drafts podcast as well. But put the GM hat on you for a second, whether it be free agency or the draft, at wide receiver, left tackle, and edge. Assume they re-sign Xavier Rhodes, the cornerback's off the list there. What would you do at 21, number 54, and then a big-name free agent for the Colts to add to really extend their window in 2021 and beyond?
All right, free agency, I'll start there. We got to shoot the moon. Let's go get Allen Robinson. Let's find a way to convince him to come play with Carson Wentz. And if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. Like I said, you got all the chips in. You got to start moving. You got to try and make some power moves there. And I think in the draft, I think their first three picks, I think in round one, where there's going to be the most value is either edge or offensive tackle. And I don't think you're going to get either. You could probably get a good offensive tackle in the second round, but I don't think you get as talented of an edge rusher in the second round. I think those guys are going to go early because they're going to test well. So I think going after a guy like, I think I'd lean either Jalen Phillips or Kwity Paye in round one. And then going to round two, if you can swing a Sam Cosmi in that second pick, you know, at 54, that would be a bit of a fall, but it could happen. Or Alex Leatherwood, a guy that has absurd length for the position, didn't look that good at the Senior Bowl, and then maybe could be made available for them at 54. Round three, I don't think you necessarily need to draft for need. You're looking for value at that position. I think you could look at wide receiver. There's some opportunities in the slot specifically, like a Jalen Darden of North Texas. I think Cade Johnson of South Dakota State is getting slept on. Let's add a receiving piece as well. And I think you have Allen Robinson, a slot piece in the third round, an offensive tackle and an edge defender. And we're going to try and win the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz.
Austin, is this the Colts one of the more intriguing teams to follow now after this Wentz trade where, it, like you mentioned throughout the show, like this team is all in now. They have their quarterback. They have their core around him. It's time to win now. Are they going to be one of the more intriguing teams to follow for you throughout March and April?
Absolutely. Anytime there's this, you know, teams that are making kind of bold decisions or pushing their chips in, as I've said multiple times on the pod, I do think they're interesting teams to follow. It's very similar to, you know, the Los Angeles Rams, you know, making a trade for Matthew Stafford, trading 2 first-round picks, moving on from Jared Goff. Anytime a team makes an objectively aggressive decision at the quarterback position, whether that's trading up for one, going and getting one like the Colts did with Wentz or the Rams did with Matthew Stafford, those are going to be the interesting teams to follow. And I do think we're not done yet. Deshaun Watson could be on the move. I'm hearing Denver. I'm hearing Carolina. I also think that there's going to be a lot of moves that are going to be – what are the Chicago Bears doing at quarterback? What is the football team doing at quarterback? Do the San Francisco 49ers get involved in what is a very good quarterback class? I think the Colts are one of many teams that will be getting aggressive to upgrade the quarterback position, to try and compete with the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes dominating league right now. It'll be a fun one for sure, and I'm looking forward to 2021.
Austin, really appreciate having you on today. Colts fans, if you're not already, go ahead and follow Austin on Twitter at @PFF_AustinGale. He's the associate director of content at PFF, the host for 2-for-1 drafts as well. Great stuff as always over at PFF. Austin, really appreciate the time today.
Of course. Thank you.